Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Final hour on this Wednesday. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis from News 2, Parker Kelly broadcasting from the Busy Bee. Plumbing, heating, and air conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Back into the Titans here in the final hour the show. We talked a lot about Carnell Tate, the decision at number 4 for the Titans, but 7 more players added. Let's start with Keldrick Falk. Okay. I think Keldrick Falk is a really good fit for this Robert Saleh defense.
I agree.
He was mocked to be a top 20 pick. He fell all the way to 31.
It's a very traitsy pick.
Yes. They got a guy who is big. He is quick.
He is really tall.
He's 6'6",
yes,
right?
He's every bit of it.
Yes.
Now, he's still lean. If you want him to put on 15 pounds, there's plenty of space for that.
And he didn't produce as much as you would like his final year at Auburn, just 2 sacks. He did, I think if you watch the tape, I went back and watched a couple games of him. He was an impact player for that team, even though he didn't hit the quarterback. But when you take a guy in the first round, he's got to hit the quarterback. I do like the pick. I think with Robert Saleh, in that introductory press conference, he said he wants most of his defensive linemen to play about 60% of snaps. Falk is a great rotational piece for them because he can play outside on rundowns, inside on passing downs, and gives them not a clone to John Franklin Myers, but a guy who can do similar things to John Franklin Myers, and you can have both of them on the field at the same time. You can interchange them. It gives Robert Saleh options up front on the defensive front.
Well, John Franklin Myers is a lot stouter.
Yeah,
he is. But, I mean, he's 21 years old.
Right.
So it's the second year in a row, a guy on the edge is basically a developmental piece. And maybe calling him developmental isn't fair.
He did have a 7-sack season at Auburn.
And he's very good against the run.
Yes.
And again, you know, he's a guy a lot of people have projected anywhere from 12 to 20. And
right.
So, you know, because my reaction was, couldn't they have gotten him at 35? And the answer apparently is no.
They said, Mike Borgonzi said, you know, he was the top player on our board. We didn't want to miss out on
him. Yeah. And so, you know, look, that's their job. That's their job. You go up and get that guy. He needs to be a starter for them without question. We'll see how prepared he is. Let me say this about the first 3 picks. When you look at the Titans board and how it sets up, okay, the first 3 picks, was Falk a 5-star?
I don't know.
He was a 4 or a 5-star.
All 3 of those guys were highly recruited players.
Yeah. So I know Hill's a 5-star, and I
think Falk was a high-end 4-star.
Okay, and I know the Tate was a 5-star.
Yes.
So, and what are they all? They're all guys who came in, they didn't redshirt.
Yep.
They played immediately. They played 3 years, stayed at the same school.
And left early.
And went to the NFL.
Yep.
And when you look at the back end of the Titans draft, Singleton and the offensive linemen, those are guys, they're older.
Experienced.
Yep. They're ready to go. They're going to be older when it's time for their second contract, so maybe they don't get one. But these guys, when their contracts are up, are going to be 25 years old and should just be hitting their prime.
Yeah. I think that's a good way of looking at it, as with the early picks, they went for high ceiling.
Yes.
All of those guys
yes.
have big athletic traits.
Yes.
They're young, and they're going to develop. Later in the draft, they went for players they think can contribute. Right?
This is what you are. This is what you're going to be, and we feel good about it.
Right. You can come in here, and you can make an impact on our team, even if you're not going to be a superstar.
Yeah. We're not projecting anything on these guys.
Yes.
This is what they are.
Right.
But the first 3 guys are all projections, all were projections out of high school, all pretty much achieved that in college, and we're projecting them to continue that upward arc.
Right, the ascension.
And so I thought that was really interesting, because we have all this talk about these 24- and 25-year-old guys that are coming out, and when their contracts are up, they're 29, 30 years old.
Yeah.
But the Titans' first 3 picks, they absolutely went blue chips.
It's funny. Ian Safar pulled up Dane Brugler's way too early mock draft from last year. So around this time last year, looking ahead to the 2026 draft, they had Keldrick Falk as the 6th overall pick, Anthony Hill is the 12th overall pick, and Carnell Tate is the 13th overall pick. And that, it doesn't mean anything, right? Like, you go where you go based on what you did.
It means those guys were viewed as really
talented. Right. It showed that even a year out heading into their final year of college, the NFL world viewed those guys as possible blue chip talents.
Yes.
And to get those guys in the top 60, I think all of them are going to be cornerstone pieces for this team.
Yes.
And that's what Mike Borgonzi is looking for. Guys who are going to grow, and they're going to end up being—
They all need to start. like now.
Right. Yes, they all should be starters. Carnell Tate, by the end of the year, should be your no doubt wide receiver one.
Yep.
I think Keldrick Falk, with the way Saleh uses his defensive line, I don't think it's I don't think you can assume he's going to be like an 8 to 10 sack guy in year one. But I think you expect 5 to 6 sacks in year one from Keldrick Falk.
I if he got 5 or 6, I'd be okay.
And then I think Anthony Hill needs to be your green dot middle linebacker right off the bat.
Why does he need to take the green dot from Cedric?
I just think, I mean, and I guess the green dot doesn't have to be the middle linebacker, but it usually is.
Yeah.
I think Hill fits more of what Saleh wants at the mic rather than Cedric is going to play the will.
Okay, and just Cedric's going to massacre the run.
Yes, yeah. Okay. And you look at Jermaine Johnson, Jeffrey Simmons, John Franklin Myers, Keldrick Falk up front on
rundowns. One should run the ball on this
right,
team.
Like, Cedric Gray is just going to be able to come in and clean up.
Yeah, that's what, you know, everybody. And I understand why they drafted Hill, and I like him, but Cedric Gray was really good last year, and I think that gets lost in this.
Yes, and I feel really good about Gray and Hill playing next to each other.
Yeah.
I would have felt less great about Hill and Barton being your starting inside linebackers. Gray and Barton.
We knew they were going to take a linebacker. It was just where.
Right.
It was just where.
And they went high end. I mean, Hill was the third linebacker off the board.
There was talk, the kid from Cincinnati, his name was coming up a lot.
Yes, I'm blanking on his name.
Yeah.
But yes, he was brought up. Jacob Rodriguez was the second linebacker off the board. But Hill, you mentioned it. I mean, 5-star guy. He produced at Texas, not only as an off-ball linebacker, but they used him as a pass rusher, too.
Yeah, he was a very good pass rusher.
Ziegler did say yesterday in the press conference, the assistant GM said that they're going to use him off the ball. But that, I mean, he's a good blitzer, too. Yeah. And I know Robert Saleh.
You can move guys around. It's allowed.
Yes. Yeah, it is. And the Albert Breer article that I was looking at earlier, there was an interesting note at the very bottom that said the Titans plan on using Hill the same way they would have used Arvell Reese if he was the pick. And I don't think Reese would have been put on the edge immediately. He would have been an outside linebacker.
Yep, he would have.
That they would have moved around. You put him in the joker, the spinner that Mike Borgonzi talked about. So maybe Hill is used in that role as well.
I mean, look, he's a second-round pick. There's no escaping that. But I'm sure there are people that feel like they got first-round talent.
Yep.
I mean, just like with Kevin Winston last year.
Yes.
They got him in the third round. Felt like if he'd been healthy, he would have been a first-rounder. So, you know, you're getting high-end talent. There's no one who does not like that pick.
No, I think that was universally liked by Titans fans. There was,
and I think all the analysts liked that pick. I think some people have viewed that as the biggest bargain in the draft.
Yeah, and there were reports that if the Titans didn't trade up to get him, they wouldn't have gotten him. It was, I'm blanking on his name. He covers the Broncos out in Denver.
Oh, they were going to take him.
He said
Legwold?
No. Oh. I'll find it during the break. But he reported that the Broncos were going to take Hill.
Dave Kliss?
No. I follow
him. I'm giving you all my Denver people.
And I cannot think of his name. But he said the Titans leapfrogged Denver
to get him.
So you wouldn't have been able to get him if you didn't trade up. They felt convicted. They went up and got the player at the end of the second
round. You missed out on a 4th-round pick, but you got 3 guys who you think are starters immediately.
Yes.
And our high-end talents.
Yes.
And so there's not a lot to argue with that unless the players aren't good.
Right. You still have to pick the right players, but I do like the process from Mike Borgonzi and the way they attack the draft this year. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's get into the offensive line coming up next
because
they did address the O-line later in the draft.
Which is what we thought they would do.
Yes. I think you thought they would have a pick at 101, but they used that to move up for Keldrick Falk. So
you know who went 101?
Jermod McCoy
went
101. So you thought you would have a pick in the 4th round. You ended up not being able to pick until the 5th round. Got Fernando Carmona out of Arkansas. Pat Coogan later at Indiana. Do the Titans have enough on the offensive line heading into year two of Cam Ward? 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you. Diving back into the Titans draft class, we talked about the early picks, Carnell Tate, Keldrick Falk, Anthony Hill. Titans did make some moves on day 3, did not get to make a pick until the 142nd pick in the 5th round, but addressed the offensive line. Brought in Fernando Carmona, the guard from Arkansas. They brought in Pat Coogan, the center from Indiana. But I think it left a little bit more to be desired. You didn't get somebody who is an immediate plug-and-play starter on the interior of the offensive line, and you're very thin at tackle. Dave Ziegler, the assistant GM, speaking yesterday, talked about the possibility of adding more on the offensive line. Here's what he had to say.
Well, I think with the group that we have now, obviously we signed Bolson, who has a lot of experience, started for 3 years in Cincinnati before having an injury. And so, you know, we like the experience that he brings. We like his size. We like his toughness. You know, Jackson Slater is going to be here in year two. So we're excited to see what his development is in the spring. And, you know, we drafted a couple guys. And so, yeah, there's a level of competition that's still going to be taking place there. And then there's an element for us to continue to, whether it's offensive line or other positions, continue to look to improve it. Like our you know, free agency is over and the draft's over, but there's still an element of different areas of the team that we are going to continue to add competition to. And I think offensive line will be one of those positions, along with some other ones. And so I would say we're going to give those guys an opportunity. They have the opportunity this spring to prove themselves and to, earn the trust of the offensive staff and you know, have an opportunity to secure a role. But we're also going to look to bring competition in, and if we can improve a position, we'll improve it. In terms of, hey, like you got to be fluid in this business with plans, you know. And so, you know, free agency, when you go into free agency, obviously it's people have different options and there's money involved and, you know, things of that nature. So, you know, the chips fall where they fall, and you got to make the decisions that you make to bring the players in. There's, you know, a lot of different moving parts in free agency because you're talking about cash and money, and, you know, we signed a lot of players. And
so that was Dave Ziegler yesterday. And I think there's a few things to unpack there. I'll start at the very end. The way he framed money is involved and guys have multiple options in free agency tells me that they did try and bring in multiple veteran options at center and right guard, and they just didn't get any of them.
Tyler Linderbaum.
Yeah, well, yeah, Linderbaum, $27 million a year.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm sure they took a swing at him.
I would have probably been disappointed if they didn't at least kick the tires on that, right?
Like they were probably willing to go to like 21 or 22 or
right.
something.
But they went astronomical. Yeah. The center market went up 50% in one offseason, and they didn't match what the Raiders were able to offer. I do think that they wanted to add more on the interior offensive line. I will say, though, another thing that stood out to me there is he's asked about the offensive line. First name he brings up was Cordell Volson. And I'm starting to wonder if they view him as the starting right guard. I think there's going to be competition there, and like Slater might work at center and right guard, and Carmona now in that room. But Volson is a guy who started nearly 50 games in his NFL career, and I wonder if they view him as the starter at right guard at the beginning, and if Slater passes him, so be it. But they may have a higher expectation for Volson than many fans do.
Look, I think they've got, what, five guys there we're talking about right now?
It's five guys for two spots.
And I think that the hope is you've got two starters in there.
Yep.
And they'll go to camp. I mean, not training camp. They'll go to mini camp in OTAs. They'll see what they've got. Carmen Brasillo will look and see what he's got. And from there, he will make a judgment to those guys and saying, hey, we've got one starter here. Hey, we've got two starters here. Hey, we don't really have any starters here.
Right. And maybe that's when Kevin Zeitler's phone starts ringing.
And exactly. Kevin Zeitler, I'm sure there's other free agents out there. There's guys that will get cut that they may have their eyes on. And that will be that. But I think whether they're starters or not, they've got guys they think can start.
Yes.
All right. So, like, look, if it has to be Schlotman and Slater, or Schlotman and Volson, or Slater and Volson, they feel like we'll be okay.
Yeah. Which isn't great.
No, it's right? Not great. It's not great. But they weren't going to get forced into a contract they didn't want to write.
Yeah.
And I get that. Does that mean there aren't guys like that they could have brought in that I think could have been more reasonable? Yeah, but that's me. They know more than I do. But so yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think this spring is a hashing out period. let's see what we've got. Because I liked Jackson Slater last year.
Yeah.
And he's had, you know, coming from Sacramento State, this is a big leap up. And so he's had a year to work on his body and to work on the compete level. I mean, look, he goes against Jeffrey Simmons in practice.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's...
You're going to get... I mean, against this defensive line, he's going to get tested every day in training camp.
He's practiced against Simmons. He practiced against Devondre Sweat. He practiced against all those guys. So he's had a chance to get a year better when he played against the Jaguars. He did not do poorly. So, you know, we'll see if he's got it. And we'll see if these rookies can come in and challenge.
I mean, yeah.
Carmona's a Sasquatch.
Yeah, that's a big dude.
He's huge. And Coogan has played a lot. And he's got all the intangibles.
Yeah.
It's just, is he physically up to the job? Well, and they're going to get a chance to show it.
And I think you're right of Schlotman and Volson are your safety nets, right? Yeah. Like Schlotman worked with Daboll, worked with Brasillo last year. He's got 18 career starts, I want to say. And then Volson has started 50 games in his career. He was a starter throughout basically his entire time with Cincinnati.
He got hurt
last year.
Yeah.
So those are your safety nets if none of the young guys are ready. But ideally, maybe not to start the season, but at some point in the year, ideally, it's Pat Coogan and Jackson Slater as your center and right guard.
Because, I'd love that.
Because those are long-term solutions. Schlotman and Volson are Band-Aids. Like, you want to find...
Yes, they're not long-term solutions.
Right. If you come out of this year and feel good about Coogan and Slater or Coogan and Carmona or whoever it is as your center and right guard for the next 4 years... You've got four spots on your offensive line.
It could also be Slater and Carmona.
Right, Slater can play center too. Yeah. Like, if you can come out with the young guys winning those jobs, you feel better long-term about the offensive line. And now left tackle is like the only position that you're really worried about.
It also helps your cap number too because you're going to have to pay Latham and
Skoronski. Yeah.
And, you know, that's part of the – you know, everybody wants them to – you know, why aren't you willing to spend $27 million at center? Well, Skoronski needs a new deal.
Yes. Are you willing to pay $50 million plus for your center and left guard, knowing that hopefully your quarterback has to get paid in a couple of years?
Yes.
Your right tackle has to get paid in a couple of years.
You're gonna need a left
tackle. Jeffrey Simmons is going to need an extension. So I agree with you that $27 million a year for Linderbaum was probably out of their price range. Clearly it was out of their price range. I will say tackle, if the way Ziegler was talking about it with adding players, I hope he was talking about tackle because Dan Moore is your left tackle. J.C. Latham is your right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your swing tackle? Is it Brandon Crenshaw Dixon? Is it Austin Deculus? Like, who is...
Well, it could be Carmona.
Carmona
played tackle till last year. They moved him inside last year.
I'm going to ask everybody's favorite question. How long are his arms?
Oh. Well, I mean, he was a tackle until last year. So he has a lot of experience at that position. Look, I'll just say this. He is viewed as a swing guard tackle.
Let's see. Carmona, 32 1/8 inch arms. That's not ideal.
What's the length you need? 34?
I think let's see what was Will Campbell's?
It was Skoronski.
Right. Will Campbell's arm length is 33 inches.
That's short. Yeah.
32 5/8 inches. So Carmona is shorter than that. I would say he's probably better suited at guard.
He is. I'm just saying he can play.
That's true. Position. I mean, yeah, in an emergency. I would just like there are tackles out there that would be upgrades behind those two guys. There are questions of are they going to sign up to be a backup? Like a name we brought up earlier this week. Jack Conklin's out there.
Yeah.
I don't know if he would immediately say, yeah, I'll come in to be your third tackle. But at some point, if you want to play.
What if they want to play guard?
Right. Yeah. Could he come be your right guard? And then if he has to bump out to tackle.
Yeah. That's a possibility.
Right. Like, I'm open to all options. But right now, Dan Moore and J.C. Latham both missed time last year. And Ali Udoh was fine. He wasn't good.
He's gone.
But you let him walk.
Yeah.
Who is going to be that backup plan if Moore or Latham get hurt again this year?
They've kind of put a priority on Crenshaw Dixon.
Yeah, and they also signed Emil Wagner, the left tackle for Notre Dame, who actually...
Okay. Yes, they did.
He was pretty good. He's an undrafted free agent. It's not like you can say, all right, undrafted guy, that's our swing tackle. Mm-hmm. But I think they do at least have some young options that they think might have some growth potential.
Sure.
So, I think they need to add a veteran in that room. Maybe Conklin is a little bit too high, but there are other guys out there who, at the very least, if Latham goes down in training camp or Moore goes down in training camp, you're not thinking, oh crap, Cam Ward's going to be running for his life.
Well, Jack is at the point in his career, he may be like Zeitler, and I, again, I'm speaking for these guys, so this is not what they have said. I'm sure those guys would not miss missing out on OTAs in minicamp.
Right, yeah, Zeitler honestly may have told the Titans, like,
call me at training camp.
Hey, I'm perfectly happy to come play for you, but I am not doing off-season program.
Yeah, call me in July. I'll be there.
We'll see. And they've got rookie minicamp starts on Friday, so you're going to get to see Coogan and Carmona out there. Yep. And, you know, obviously it's rookie minicamp. It's not a big deal. They'll get to work in with the rest of the team throughout May. Right. Like, it's going to be a process here, and the Titans are going to be able to find out what they have in these young guys. And maybe they look at it in July and they say, hey, we really like Slater. We really like Coogan. Sorry, Kevin, we don't need you. Yeah. But I do think Kevin
Somebody
Zeitler,
gets hurt, we'll call you.
I do think Kevin Zeitler is on the back burner as a break glass in case of emergency.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yep. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Couple other picks the Titans made that we haven't gotten to. We will talk some Nick Singleton coming up after this. What does that mean for the Titans at running back? Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up. 1025 the game. Next man up, 1025 the game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you. We got 30 minutes left in the show on this Wednesday. Going through the Titans draft class. Haven't gotten to Nick Singleton yet. Running back out of Penn State, guy who's been reliable for them, has been explosive at times. They take him late in the fifth round. What are your thoughts on the pick, Corey, and what do you think this means for the running back room? I said yesterday I think this might be the end of Tajay Spears here in Nashville.
That's the end of somebody because, I mean, the fifth-round pick, he's going to make the team.
Yep.
I'm surprised he didn't come out as a junior, frankly.
Yeah.
But he's played all 4 years. I mean, he has started 53 games in college. And rushed for 3,400 yards, broke Saquon Barkley's career record. He is different from what they've got. 6'2", 225.
Right.
It's more of a Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, I think that's a good comp.
Size guy.
Yeah.
Not breakaway speed. I don't know what his 40 time is, but you know, clearly can get into the secondary, but is not going to pull away when he gets there. So that would be one thing against him, but. I think, you know, if you want to hammer on a defense for four quarters, I mean, I think he's that guy, you know, 20, 25 carries. And I think the positional value is really good taking him in the fifth round because, look, if things go right with this pick, he's your starter next year.
Yep. Yep, and that's the expectation is that he is going to be the future of the running back room, right? Like, Pollard is a free agent after this year. Mm-hmm. Tajay Spears, if he's still on the team, is a free agent after next year. Michael Carter's on a one-year deal.
Yep.
You don't have anybody in that room who's going to be around long. I guess Kalel Mullings is still there for now.
I don't think anybody views him as the future of the running back position for the team, though.
Right. This supersedes Kalel Mullings, and I think Mullings probably gets cut, too.
This year? Yeah, it's possible.
They're going to keep at most four running backs.
Yeah.
And so Pollard's going to be there. Singleton's going to be there. I would lean that Carter is on the team above Spears just because he's a solid guy. He's been with him with New York.
I would agree with that.
So it comes down to Spears, Mullings, Chestnut. And I think if you're keeping a fourth running back, it's for special teams.
Yep.
And who's going to make an impact on special teams? I think Chestnut's probably played the most special teams among those three.
They drafted Mullings to play special
teams.
Yeah,
so
he just was hurt a bunch last year.
I said it yesterday, like, Spears was a Carthon Vrabel pick in 2023.
Carthon loved him.
There is no connection to him and the current staff. I think it might be maybe they shop him and see if somebody will give up a seventh-round pick for him.
Yeah, he might be a seventh-rounder or a pick-swap guy.
Right, but I don't think he's on the team.
He has not done enough to be in demand. Now, does that mean he's not capable of electric plays? No, he is capable of electric plays, but he's had a chance to say, hey, you have to play me, and he hasn't done that. That's just facts.
Right.
I mean, Tony Pollard last year, when finally given some daylight, showed you he's Tony Pollard.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, Pollard, when the offensive line was actually blocking for him.
When they got it together?
He started to get going. And
I mean, they had a 1,000-yard season last year.
I would have been fine with cutting Pollard if you felt like you had an upgrade out there that you could get in free agency. We talked about Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker. But I also understand keeping him around. Yeah. And I know Breece Hall didn't hit the market. I think there's, if Breece Hall had gotten out there, I think Saleh would have scooped him up.
Yeah, but Singleton will be interesting. I'm looking forward to watching him. Because again, he's a bigger back guy. I don't know if the Titans have had a guy like him. I mean, outside of who's the, we keep forgetting his name, the thumper out of Michigan that they got.
Oh, yeah. And I still can't remember his name for some reason.
But he's with the Chargers now.
They picked him in the 4th round too.
Well, I mean, but he was brought in to be a core special teams player, which he was, and to back up, and to be a short yardage guy for them. I mean, he was brought in to be a thumper.
It is, man, what, Hassan Haskins.
Hassan Haskins. I did not dislike Hassan Haskins.
No, I didn't either. He never really got a good chance here.
When they traded him away, I'm like, well, I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then they draft Khalil Mullings. I'm like, okay, they just drafted a guy to replace the guy that they traded away, or that
right.
They cut.
They traded away him and Elijah Molden
yeah.
to the Chargers. And
yeah.
It's like,
and they're both like played a lot. But so it'll be interesting to see. I mean, look, he may not be that guy. He may not. And also, he's already had a lot of carries.
Yeah, that is true. That's something we talked about as a pro for Jeremiah Love
yes.
is, hey, there was a lot more tread on those tires.
Yeah. I mean, the Titans brought in a guy during the Chris Johnson era named Javon Ringer
yeah.
from Michigan State, who was really good at Michigan State, and he was really good when they brought him in here. He was a 3rd or a 4th round pick. He had so many carries at Michigan State, his body just fell apart.
Yeah, and this is typically the way that you address running back. You take a guy in the 4th or 5th round who you expect to keep for one contract and then move on. Jeremiah Love was an alien, right?
Yeah.
And it's like if he was there at 4, I don't doubt that the Titans would have taken him. But if you're not getting a Jeremiah Love type prospect, this is the way to address running back. You get a guy
yeah.
who is productive.
Like,
he's
who
got
went
traits.
After Jadarian Price? Who's the next running back off the board?
It was it Mike Washington? There was only 2 taken on day 2, I want to say.
Okay.
Or no, there were none taken on day 2.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah. I think that's right.
And then a couple went early on day 3.
So I mean, that goes exactly to what you're saying.
Let's see. Drafthistory.com.
There weren't that many running backs that were viewed as special.
I forgot. There was one running back taken on day 2. The Niners took their annual 3rd-round running back in Kalen Black
okay.
Out of Indiana. Jonah Coleman went with the 8th pick in the 4th round. Mike Washington was after that. Then Emmett Johnson from Nebraska. Then Nick Singleton.
Okay.
And then Singleton's running mate, Catron Allen, went in the 6th round.
I have no problems with the guy they got.
No, I think that was one of their better picks. And then the 2 picks that really no one's talking about all that much, Jackie Marshall.
Nobody knows anything about
him. It's just more depth on the defensive line with
yeah.
Robert Saleh Loves.
Pass rush traits.
I don't know if you saw Jim Wyatt tweeted out or put out an article of like, here's where the roster stands right now. And it was like quarterbacks, 4, running backs, 6, defensive linemen, 20.
40. Yeah.
And that included all of the defensive tackles and defensive ends. But
yeah.
Robert Saleh clearly wants depth there.
Yeah.
And then
and
also Jaron Kanick, the tight
yep.
end out of Oklahoma.
That's an intriguing pick.
That is a bones fossil special teamer right there.
Well, I mean, maybe he's more.
He's
played tight end 1 year.
Yeah, and he played linebacker before, which is why
yeah.
I say like.
Yeah, that, and I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with it. But I'm also saying he played 1 year at tight end and caught like 50 passes.
Yeah, for 500 yards, 450, somewhere around there.
And what did he play before he played linebacker?
Quarterback.
Okay, who else played quarterback and moved to tight end?
Eli Stowers.
And?
You're
missing
quizzing me here.
The greatest tight end probably ever.
Oh, did Kelsey play quarterback?
Yeah.
Oh,
he was a quarterback at Cincinnati.
For some reason,
got kicked off the team, begged Butch Jones to put him back on the team, and Butch said, you can come back, but you can't be a quarterback.
Yeah,
you gotta play tight end.
I do remember hearing that story. I don't know
yeah.
why I forgot about that.
And that's not there are other ones, too.
Well, yeah, and we mentioned like Jacob Rodriguez at linebacker. He was a quarterback at Virginia before he transferred to Texas Tech.
I think those guys see the field differently.
Yeah, they have really good spatial awareness.
Yeah.
Because
Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
Another guy who was
yeah.
a quarterback. Not a tight end, but a wide receiver, but really good at what? Finding space.
Right.
What's Travis Kelce good at? Finding space.
Right, and being on the same, like, oh, this is what the quarterback is going to want me to do here. And so, I don't know. Kanick, the tight end room is a little bit crowded now, too.
Also, really athletic.
Yes.
Like, his athletic measurables are really good.
Yep.
And again, I'm not saying he's this. I'm just saying maybe more upside than you would think for a seventh-round pick.
I think there's a decent chance they keep four tight ends. You know, you've got Helm.
Because they're going to play two a lot.
Yes. Helm and Bellinger are locks. Then it's the trio of DMR, Kanick, and then Kylan Granson.
Yeah, the guy from the Colts.
The Colts. Yeah. So, I think Kanick has a good chance to make the team because he is a guy who looks like he can contribute on special teams, and then we'll see if anything else comes from that.
Yeah.
Trevor on the text line asks, Corey, who is the most intriguing UDFA that you've seen for the Titans so far? he mentions the Tyron Montgomery wide receiver from John Carroll.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's really new to the position, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so he's really new to the position, and so he's raw. And so, you know, he doesn't have to play this year, but, like, I don't know how much demand there is for him out there. I think there's a lot of teams interested. And so, you know, can you sneak him onto the practice squad?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that wide receiver room seems set at six.
Like, yeah, I mean, you've already got Bryce Oliver fighting for his life there at the six spot.
Yeah, and maybe Oliver is more, vulnerable than we think. He's coming off the injury plague season, but I just do think he's a special teamer who has shown offensive upside. And
the Montgomery is very thin.
Yes.
And Bryce is a tank. Bryce is a strong dude.
Right.
And so that's why he's built for special teams, among other things. And so, you know, I think he's interesting. I think the tackle out of Notre Dame is also one that I'm really going to be watching.
I would say, Emil Wagner, the tackle from Notre Dame, and then Latrell McCutcheon, the cornerback from Houston, was a guy a lot of people had as draftable. He could play in the nickel, which...
They've also got the other cornerback from the Vols, don't they?
Did they?
I believe so.
I haven't kept up on all the...
They haven't put out an official list.
Right, I'm waiting for the Jim Wyatt list of everything, but Latrell McCutcheon Sr. is the DB from Houston, who I think a lot of people thought was going to get drafted. Maybe he ends up competing for the back end of that cornerback room, which you've got the top end guys with Taylor and Flott now, but there isn't a whole lot of depth there.
By the way, so losing your fourth round pick, Keith Abney from Arizona State goes in the fifth round.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that was one of the great value picks of the draft.
Yep. I do think that there were a couple of guys who slipped. I mentioned Chandler Rivers from Duke, the cornerback, too. Yeah. He ended up going to the Ravens. I would have liked him as a nickel option for the Titans, too. Keontae Scott fell in the draft, too. Yeah. He didn't go until day three, which was surprising. Jacoby Thomas, his teammate, who transferred from MTSU to Miami, he went before Keontae Scott.
He went way earlier.
Yeah, he went like 98th somewhere in there.
I thought he was like round six.
Right. I would have flipped. Like, I thought Keontae Scott was second or third round pick.
A lot of projections, I saw him going top 50.
Yeah, right.
And he did not.
Trevor says, might this be the end for Mason Kinsey? I think this might be the final time he gets thrown out of the bar.
Well, look, maybe they put him on the practice squad because they like what he brings there.
Yeah.
But this would be a third coaching staff that he would have to convince.
Right. I like Mason Kinsey, but at some point you're going to add enough talent that Mason Kinsey is no longer necessary.
Well, I mean, Xavier Restrepo is the other one.
Yeah. I'm not thinking about catching the strep this year.
Where does he fit in?
Yes.
I mean, if you keep him over Bryce Oliver, he can't be a gunner.
Right. That's why Oliver has the inside track. Somebody has to prove that they can make a difference on special teams more than Bryce Oliver.
I mean, because if you're going to keep four tight ends and you're going to keep four running backs.
Yeah, you're probably only keeping six receivers.
Exactly.
So, yeah, no, I think Restrepo is on his last legs. And
that doesn't mean they can't be practiced.
Right, Restrepo and Mason Kinsey. You've heard that Mason Kinsey is great on scout team. And I am sure that he will continue to play that role.
He played quarterback in a preseason game.
Right. No, I mean, Kinsey is going to stick around on the practice squad unless somebody else wants him.
Well, you know where Kinsey's going to be.
Where?
He's going to be in New England.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Does Vrabel finally scoop him up?
Yeah. Absolutely.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We got one more segment on this Wednesday. We'll wrap up the show coming up next. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Final segment on this Wednesday. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly.
I don't think Corey likes this.
I know all these are Guardians. I don't remember this one. Was this the end of the movie?
This was end of the third one.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're right. That's it was.
I did,
yeah.
I did not like the third movie.
Really?
It was sad.
What?
It was sad.
Well, it was awesome.
It was supposed to complete the story.
Awesome. I did not like the third one.
Yeah.
It did not feel the same as the first two.
No, it didn't. Like, it was the rocket stuff was very, like, kind of dark. Yeah.
It was sad.
You know, one day in the summer when there's absolutely nothing to talk about, I think Corey and I should rank our MCU movies.
Do we do that in like a June Wednesday, just spend an hour?
We could do that. We could have a Star Wars ranking. We could have we could do a Star Trek draft.
We're going to have
I'm no good on the Star Trek stuff.
I mean, we're almost in Mount Rushmore season of Sports Talk Radio.
Well, we could have Cryptid Wednesday.
Yeah, there you go. I missed that.
You did miss out on the Cryptid adventure.
Yes.
It was an adventure.
I'm in for it. You know, when we get into, we get into the dog days of summer, you know, it's we're gonna have to.
You know what we should do one time, and this is your show, so I shouldn't say that. We should, if people have Bigfoot or alien stories, ask them to call in.
Yeah, we're given ideas for question of the day.
I like
for Chase
it.
And Big
I
Joe.
Like it.
But yeah, I kind of like that. Again, over the summer. There's only so much you can do talking about the off season for football, and like
I've got UFO ghost stories.
We'll get into some off the wall topics over the summer. Ricky on the text line, thank you for reminding us. Jalen McMurray is the Vols cornerback that the Titans.
So he's going to get a look.
Titans rookie minicamp coming up this this weekend. I was looking to see who is going to be the quarterback. In the rookie
I think
minicamp.
They signed two.
They signed. I saw Caden Salter, the Colorado quarterback, is going to be there.
Can I say this? He was not good.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, the expectations for Colorado were that him or they had the five-star freshman, too.
He was terrible.
Yeah, they were not good.
Yeah, that's why when I saw him, I'm like, all right.
Well, and then they signed Thomas Castellanos as a UDFA, but he is going to play wide receiver.
Okay.
The quarterback who was at Boston College beat Alabama with Florida State this year. So that'll be interesting.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. Not afraid to try something.
Yeah. I mean, I really do like the undrafted free agent class they've brought in so far. I think there's some interesting names, but you do have to go into it knowing they're undrafted free agents for a reason. And the odds of any of them making the roster are pretty slim.
They've got 12 wins in 3 years.
They got a chance, right? But, like, you know, especially with eight draft picks, right? Like, there's not going to be a whole lot of spots for undrafted guys.
Yeah, you'd like to think that the endless line of draft classes with no players left in them comes to an end and it gets harder to make the team.
Yeah. Yeah, I think usually I would set, like, the over-under of undrafted free agents to make a team at, like, 1.5.
Yeah, for this team, it's been, like, 4, six.
Well, and you never know. Last year, we talked a ton about the waiver claims because the Titans had the top waiver priority. Yeah. It's like some of the guys that make the roster
Did that work out at all?
They got four guys. Dorian Mossy ended up being a decent special teamer.
He's still with them.
Yes, he's still on the team. I forget the other ones. They got the big pass rusher from the Vikings.
Oh.
I'm blanking. I think he's still on the team, too.
Not Ali Kay.
No.
That was the guy they got from the Texans.
They got the two cornerbacks. The one from Baltimore who actually played a decent amount. And
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, the three names.
And yes. And then they got the corner from Indy who didn't play very much.
Yes.
Who, Womack.
Womack. That's right. So,
Ravenel, CJ Ravenel. That was
basically didn't do a lot.
No, they were depth players. Jalen Armour Davis. There we go. We've remembered all four of the waiver claims.
Yes,
for the
you
Titans.
Have. I have not. My brain no longer works.
Jeff on the text line. This is what we'll end the show with here.
Okay.
He says, with past performance being the best predictor of future performance, and regardless of improvements made before game one this season, would you go over under of 25.5 sacks surrendered on Ward this regular season? I'm going over.
That's like
that's 1.5 per game.
Yeah, it's 1.5 per game. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Yeah, I'm going over.
Now, the last like 7 games of last year, the sack numbers are really good.
Yeah, no, they were good.
He's going to hang on to the ball to try to make some plays at times. I mean, if he gets sacked 35 times, that's a pretty good year.
Yeah, that's not horrible. I'd say you'd like to keep it around 2 per game.
Yeah, that's 35.
Right. That's right. For some reason, I was thinking 16 games. 17 games,
If it was 28-30, I'd love that.
I'd love. Remember, yeah. Kerry Collins had a great offensive line in front of him, and he got rid of the football. He's very immobile. But he's the offensive coordinator now at Spring Hill High School.
Yeah.
But he didn't take sacks.
Right.
He didn't take sacks.
And Ward's going to take some sacks.
Yes. And that's because he's more of a go-for-it guy at this point of his career.
Yeah.
So, you know, he'll be at fault for some of them, the offensive line. So, yeah, I would definitely go. What was the number he gave?
25 and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Over that.
That's the easy bet.
I would say, yeah, if you can keep it around 35, I would say under 40 makes you feel pretty good. And
it's certainly the number we've seen the last
couple of years. How many times did he get sacked last year? Because
you need to go game by game. Because
right, it got way better.
Under McCoy, that number got way better.
So he took 55 sacks last
year.
Yes,
and I would guess 40 of them were in the first like 8 to 10 games.
In the last, we'll go the last 6 games of the season, he only got sacked 10 times.
There you
go. So he got sacked 45 times in the first 11.
So 1.5 sacks per game the last 6 games.
Right, but 4 per game in the first 11.
But so that 1.5 number is what we're looking at.
Right. Yeah. I think you want to be closer to 2.5 instead of what it was
four
through the first 3 months of the season.
But look, if he could be 1.5, be at 25, I mean,
that'd be phenomenal.
Like, I'll put it this way: if he gets sacked 25 times or less this year,
Titans are going to be a playoff team.
They're going to win a lot of games.
Yep. Corey, always appreciate you coming in.
You're not going to be here next week?
I'm not going to be in next week.
Why?
I'm on my honeymoon next week.
What?
I'm getting married on Saturday.
Why? Okay. Number one, I appreciate not being invited because I don't have to buy you a gift. But why would a woman do that?
I mean, I don't know. I've been asking her that for years. We've been dating for a decade, and somehow she hasn't gotten tired of it.
Can I ask you where you're going on your honeymoon?
Mexico.
Which part?
Western.
Okay, so like Acapulco.
Like Puerto Vallarta.
Puerto Vallarta, okay.
Yeah, so, all right. Excited. It'll be good. But I will not be with you next week, but I will be back the week after.
Who's with me?
Not sure yet.
Well, don't be surprised.
That'll be a suit.
Corey and I will hold it down.
Don't be surprised if Parker and I get married.
There you go. I will.
But we may show up right next to you.
We may want gifts, though.
I will send you a gift. That'll do it for us. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next. TD with us tomorrow at 9 a.m. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.